Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
That was intended for Randle, but it was intercepted once again by Porter. He feeds ahead to Giannis. Giannis whips it to the near side. Three-pointer. A.J. Green has tied this game at 97, and it is a third straight triple-double for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
One we'll never soon forget. An incredible fourth quarter from the Bucks. They outscore the Timberwolves 40-13. Giannis and Kevin Porter Jr., a name we have been seeing quite a bit of late, combined for 25 of those 40 points. And the Bucks absolutely stun the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight to pick up their fifth consecutive win. A very good chance at six straight, with the Pelicans coming in on Thursday night, a team that has no interest in winning from this point forward. And if you can stretch this to six, it's all but over in terms of any fear of falling down to sixth in the Eastern Conference. Now, the interesting part is that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to avoid the New York Knicks. We'll get into that throughout the course of the show. We'll get into Bobby Portis and his return and all of the free Bobby signs we saw in the arena tonight, the reaction that Bobby Portis got when he checked into this game very early, the impact that Bobby Portis brought to this team when you look at some of the rebounding numbers for the Bucks and the Timberwolves, field goal attempts in this game, and how that number started to pull even for the Bucks and their opponents. But that fourth quarter was remarkable for the Bucks. Everything that could have gone against them through the first three quarters basically did. It was not an inspiring offensive performance for most of those three quarters. As we entered the fourth, Bucks were shooting 44% from the floor. They were only 7 of 26 on their threes. Timberwolves weren't hitting a high volume of three-pointers, but they made four more. They started to come to life in the third quarter. Dante DiVincenzo was a big piece of that. Minnesota was just finding easier looks. And I mentioned this, I believe, on the postgame. The Timberwolves had wide-open looks, uncontested looks, for most of that third quarter. The Bucks committed zero fouls in the third quarter. And you may think, well, it's a good thing to not foul, right? Our days dating back to Bud as the coach of defend without fouling. You need team fouls because it shows physicality that you're playing with. And that was absent. The Timberwolves were getting open looks. They were moving the ball around, and they were getting anything they wanted against this Bucks defense. The makes were allowing Minnesota to get their defense set on the other end of the floor. That is one of the constants that has remained in the season full of change for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Their defense was really good last season, tops in the league. It hasn't been number one, but it's still hovering around the top five for most of this season. And when you have the defensive pieces the Minnesota Timberwolves still have, and guys like Jaden McDaniels, certainly Rudy Gobert, who's in the running for Defensive Player of the Year once again, even Anthony Edwards, they have these pieces they can throw out there to make life very, very difficult. We saw a lot of that in the third quarter and the first 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. Bucks entered the fourth trailing by 20, 90-70. And the Timberwolves pushed it up to 24, 2 minutes in. But from that point forward, this was a completely different game. I did see Chris Finch's post-game comments afterwards, and John Krasinski, the beat writer for the Timberwolves who covers them for The Athletic, asked Chris Finch, you know, is this kind of a microcosm of your season, that things are going well for the first three quarters and then the wheels fall off? And Chris Finch's response was, it's one game, it's a fourth quarter where we struggled against the zone. But that's really underselling how much the Timberwolves struggled against that zone. It was perplexing to see how much difficulty Minnesota had in attacking the zone defense the Bucks were throwing out there. Kevin Porter Jr. had four steals in that zone defense in the fourth quarter. It was as if Minnesota had no idea how to beat a zone, how to break it down, where the ball needed to go. And we heard Doc Rivers say, look, we saw this, we watched the film before this, and we thought we had an opportunity against the Timberwolves with their personnel to play a zone. We wanted to save it until later in the game. But one of the things that stood out to us before the fourth quarter was we call them kills when we can piece together consecutive stops. We had one of those. And then you started to see those pile up to 5, 6, 7 in the fourth quarter, and you could see our bench really get into it and ignite things and call those out. And one guy after another was really feeding off of each other. They closed this game with their bench and Giannis. And I mentioned we're saying the name Kevin Porter Jr. quite a bit of late. The Bucks have seemingly found the perfect mix with the two point guards that are active on their roster, or two guards, I should say, in Ryan Rollins and Kevin Porter Jr. And as we've touched on before, it just seems like whenever one doesn't have it, the other does. And that was certainly the case tonight. Ryan Rollins had some nice moments early in this game, but as the game progressed, this was clearly a Kevin Porter Jr. game. And the good thing for the Bucks is we've seen a lot of games, especially fourth quarters, becoming Kevin Porter Jr. quarters of late here. 800-990-3776 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Without question, the best win of the season for the Bucks, an improbable win to be down 24 points with 10 minutes remaining, have a 23-0 run, have a team as confused as the Timberwolves were against a zone defense, and pick up a 7-point win in a game you started trailing by 20 in the fourth quarter. An impressive win is putting it mildly for the Bucks tonight, who still keep their faint hopes alive to catch the Indiana Pacers or get to the 4 seed, I should say, but go a long ways and take another big step in walling off the Detroit Pistons. 800-990-3776, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Also, want to take a look at these rotations and what we've seen starting to pile up. It's not quite a trend yet. It's only been 2 games. But what we're starting to see from this Bucks group in terms of who plays when and what Bobby Portis gives you beyond the rebounding and some bench production. We'll get into those conversations and hear from you after this on Bucks Talk.
Reed, top of the circle, feeds it off to Randall. He lost it. Porter comes away with a steal. He's run on the other way again. He sends it down. Two-hand slam, KPJ. Take a bow. A 30-3 run. The Bucks lead by 3.
13 points in the fourth quarter from Kevin Porter Jr. And again, this is becoming a regularity that Kevin Porter Jr. is saving his best for last and having these big moments in fourth quarters. We've talked about this before. I am not going to suggest that the Bucks are in a better spot to not have Damian Lillard. But you can lean into some things a little bit more here, your defense. And one of the things that Doc has kind of talked about, which, look, if you can, and to be clear, we've talked about this a number of times since Dame's absence was first becoming a thing here. We have no idea if Damian Lillard is going to return this season. There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of optimism. Doc talked about this last night, too, on Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks, where I forget the exact terminology, but it was basically we've been able to have Dame get some scans and some additional work done, and we've been able to track this and monitor this on a much more regular cadence than you or me or any of us would have the availability or ability to do. And we caught it early. It's in the lower portion of his leg. That's a good thing as well. We do know that the blood clot is diminishing as we've continued to monitor and check this. And we have a hope that in a week to week and a half, it's gone altogether. And once that happens, then we can start to map out a plan for, okay, what other checkpoints do we need to hit here to get him back on the floor? But that can't happen until that blood clot is gone. And that has not happened yet. And Doc himself said over the weekend when he was asked about, you know, this has traditionally been a 6-month deal. And you guys have had this optimism and hope that he's going to return. So what's changed? And talked about the same things we did. The modern medicine, right? That's a little bit different now. Where it is in his body in relation to his heart. That it's lower on his body. But all that being said, this could be 6 months. We just don't know, is what Doc Rivers had to say. So I think much like last year, we had the same conversation around Giannis. You have to have the approach of assume Damian Lillard is not going to play. If he comes back, great. Go forward, and the coaching staff is obviously doing this, but go forward with the assumption you don't have him. So how do we have to scheme? How do we have to play to beat these teams that are going to be put in front of us? Kevin Porter Jr. and Ryan Rollins give you more defensively with their size, both of them, their wingspan, their athleticism. And again, Dame is a willing defender. It's the size. That's the big thing that he's going to be up against. So you can really lean into your defense in those moments. But more importantly, you're really starting to find something in KPJ. And not that the Bucks are the first to discover this. I mean, they were one of the first to discover it in the sense that he had a 50-point game against the Bucks way back when. But what you talk about the youth for this team and the age of the current roster, and one of the things that was a constant talking, you got to get younger, you got to find young talent, you got to get athleticism. No one was disputing that. The question was always, how do you do it with the cap situation the Bucks are in? And suddenly, they're starting to find some things, right? Ryan Rollins is going to be a restricted free agent this summer. Kevin Porter Jr. and what he's continued to give you. And I do know the Bucks have been in on Kevin Porter Jr. beyond the trade deadline. This dates back to last year. And without saying too much, the Bucks were pretty confident they were going to be able to sign Kevin Porter Jr. in the offseason before he ultimately landed with the Clippers. So they've liked him for quite some time. He is a young player. He is certainly very talented. He has that athleticism. And you factor in guys like him, guys like Ryan Rollins, guys like Jericho Sims. Who, there's another important thing that we do have to get to with Jericho Sims in terms of what Doc Rivers had to say. But suddenly you're starting to sprinkle in some youth and some athleticism, and you've put yourself in a much better cap position for this summer, too. That you're starting to see some things of, okay, how do you come out of one era and go into the next without taking too much of a step backward? And you're starting to see a roadmap. And I don't know that any of us would have thought this at the time of the trade deadline, but it certainly feels like Kevin Porter Jr. is a big piece of that in how you navigate from that era of Bucks basketball that, if we're being honest, was clearly starting to come to its end. When you think about the iteration that was Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez and Bobby Portis, some of those guys aren't even here anymore. That you have to start to plan for what's our transition to the next phase. You've picked up some nice pieces, and you cannot stress this enough. No one was ever denying the talent of Kevin Porter Jr., but to acquire him, you know, for all the talk and attention that was paid to that Chris Middleton trade, and rightfully so because of what he meant in terms of franchise history. But to get Kevin Porter Jr. now and to see what Kevin Porter Jr. is doing consistently and routinely, how Giannis and the rest of his teammates have spoken about him, for a player that was out of your rotation, you got him from Marjan Beauchamp. Wasn't in the mix. You already declined his fourth-year player option. He wasn't going to be on this team next year. That's what it cost you for Kevin Porter Jr. It may well be, I don't think we can say this right now, but depending on what happens in the playoffs and the future for Kevin Porter Jr. in Milwaukee, this may go down as one of those trades of, man, do you remember what they got that guy for? It has those moments already with what you saw KPJ do tonight. 13 points in the fourth quarter, 4 steals in the fourth quarter. And, you know, another one of the things to talk about last year versus this year. Last year you were dealing with the Giannis injury. This year you're dealing with Damian Lillard battling blood clots. But it was a lot of the same verbiage of, we're hopeful. You know, we hope he can come back. We're optimistic that Giannis can come back. Same thing we're hearing now about Damian Lillard. That's the unfortunate part. But last year, you were not trending in the right direction as we were moving towards the postseason. And for a while, it certainly felt like that was the case again when you had that four-game losing streak. But you've turned that into a five-game win streak. You have a win like this against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I think overall, it's a much different roster, especially if it's the Pacers that you're playing again. Pacers have made some changes. It's largely the same roster. That's not the same for the Bucks. The athleticism has changed. The defense has certainly changed for this group, and that was a big piece of the fourth quarter. But the optics and how you feel this team is starting to look and how they're playing differently, that to me is the biggest difference in this year heading into the playoffs versus last year heading into the playoffs. 800-990-3776, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. An improbable win, as we've said a number of times. Absolutely improbable that the Bucks win this game trailing by 24 with 10 minutes remaining and stun the Minnesota Timberwolves with this win inside of Fiserv Forum tonight. One of the things that's changed for this Bucks offense, it's suddenly become very efficient. Yeah, maybe take out the first three quarters of the game tonight, but you saw it in the fourth quarter. One of the big things that's changed is literally big. It's Giannis Antetokounmpo. We've heard Doc talk about some of the clarity that has been assigned to the rest of the guys on the team. Chris Finch, head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, talked about it before the game tonight, as well. I do want to get into those comments, and I mentioned how we've seen the Bucks utilize and deploy that bench and some of the guys in the starting lineup. We're starting to see a trend in one area. At least we're getting close to a trend. It's been two games, but you're starting to see something fall into place here, and I wonder if this is going to become the norm. We'll get into that conversation as well coming up after this.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
It was great. And again, the misses allow Giannis to get out in transition and make plays. And his trust, guys, I'm just telling you, well, one of the bigger plays of the game, he gave the ball to Scoot to run a pick and roll with him and Bobby, and he just slid over to the side. He's empowering his teammates, and it's beautiful to see.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, Doc Rivers was talking about, recorded yet another triple-double, third straight game with one, his 10th of the season. That matches his career best for most in a season, which he set last year. And you're starting to see more chemistry between he and Kevin Porter Jr. in the entire second unit. I do want to get to your thoughts as well, but to finish the point on Giannis, and I mentioned what Chris Finch had to say. Doc Rivers talked a couple of games ago about we have to play with Giannis as our point guard now, and I think that's a big piece of what the offense has done and how the offense has taken a major step forward. It's not a knock on Damian Lillard, and it's not to say this team is better off without Damian Lillard, but it was improved. It was still kind of, you were working through some things with Giannis and Dame, with one guy off the ball and one guy bringing the ball up and kind of switching off that workload. Now, you know everything runs through Giannis. And it means, look, every other guy on this team, you're a role player. Get to your spots. Get the ball to Giannis. Run these sets. He'll find you. Trust the pass. And we know what we're doing offensively. It has cut down. And again, this sounds like we're knocking Damian Lillard or pointing out negatives. And that's not what the intention is. But it's cut down on a lot of ISO ball, which is what really, really anchored this offense. You've seen a ton of ball movement, and Giannis has been a big part of that. Kevin Porter Jr. has been a big part of that as well. But Chris Finch was asked about, hey, what's the biggest difference with this Bucks team without Damian Lillard and how they're starting to look offensively with no Dame and basically just leaning on Giannis. And what Chris Finch had to say was they're living at the rim. Inside out is how you want to play, and that's what they're doing. Giannis pulls so many people with him. When the ball is in his hands, you have so much more that you have to prepare for. Lots of different situations in terms of him attacking the rim, him taking those mid-rangers, him passing out to the corners and other guys on the wing. It gives clarity to everyone with their role off the ball. It's interesting that whenever you lose players, others are always willing to step up, and there are things you can't replace with no Dame, but with Giannis, you feel pretty good, and the way that everyone is playing off of him, that's what stands out about how the Bucks have looked of late. 800-990-3776, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and check in with Q in Milwaukee.
Justin, that alley-oop from Kevin Porter Jr. to Giannis, that was awesome. Like, it felt like it sealed the game. I cannot believe the type of defense that Kevin Porter Jr. has been playing as of late. I'm ecstatic. I feel like, I mean, obviously after a comeback win like tonight, you're riding high, but it feels like we can beat the Pacers without Dame with this roster, especially with Sims coming back and Bobby coming back. I mean, I realize Giannis had to play 38 minutes for us to get the win tonight, but it's nice that because Bobby was there, that Kuz and Brook played less than 30 minutes, both of them. And you get Sims back, and we're that tall team again. And I'm not sure that the Pacers can handle that. I guess my question to you is, how comparable is the Pacers roster to the Wolves that we played tonight? Like, do you think we can read through to that series?
I'll answer that, but my question to you is, and I think I know the answer. So let's assume the Bucks are the 5 seed, which the numbers are suggesting that's what it's going to be. It's going to take a monumental collapse for the Bucks to fall down to 6. Should tread carefully there, because we saw a monumental collapse tonight in this building. But do you feel better about the Bucks heading into the playoffs this year than you did a year ago?
Easily, because of Giannis is
because
healthy,
Giannis is on
and Giannis
yeah.
is like peaking. And then I have confidence in this coaching staff. Like the fact that like Doc and the coaching staff decided to like hold an ace in the hold with the zone defense until late in the game because they knew that it would help us win this. Like I feel like the coaching staff has been trying to get this team to peak at the right time. It has been a streaky team, but like, I feel like I said, in the first round, I have confidence that we can, like, we're not going to sweep the Pacers, but it's not going to be like it was last year. Like without Dame, they're going to need 6 or 7 games if they're going to beat us. But I think with Giannis cooking on all cylinders, like, there's no way the Pacers can beat us in a 7-game series.
Yeah, I do feel pretty good. The Pacers are a better team than they were last year, I would say. You know, it's easy. What I would caution is this, and thanks for the call, Q. I was talking about this with someone earlier today. I've seen a lot of people point to the Bucks are 3-1 against the Pacers this season. Of course, hey, if you can get Dame back, they should blow through the Pacers. What I would say is look at the Pacers from January 1st on. They have been one of the best teams in the conference since then. I think their low watermark this season was 5 games below 500, and that was earlier in the season. So both the Bucks and the Pacers didn't have the strongest start to the season, but if you go back to New Year's Eve when the Bucks beat the Pacers, 9-14 was the Pacers' low point, and that came early in December. They lost to the Brooklyn Nets. It was part of a 4-game losing streak. They dropped to 9-14. The Bucks had that comeback win against the Pacers on New Year's Eve, and that dropped Indiana to 16-18. With tonight's win against the Wizards, Indiana is 48-31. So they've gone 32-12 since January 1st. The offense, it's not the offense it was a season ago in terms of the eye-popping, holy cow, look at the numbers this offense is putting up. But the offense has started to get back closer to that. Tyrese Halliburton has been a much better player from January 1st on. And why I mention that is two of those Bucks wins came before that January 1st date, and they were both close, competitive games. So I don't think it's as simple as the Bucks have dominated them. Their only loss was that four-point play by Halliburton. I still think it's a tough opponent, and I think the Pacers are a better team than they were a season ago. But I think the same applies to the Bucks. Right? We talked about the roster changes, the more athleticism, how improved their defense has been as well. I mean, that the two things that made that a very, very poor matchup for the Bucks was, number one, their defense, and number two, their athleticism and how they get or how they play in transition. Indiana feasted on those things. They had a great offense. They got out and ran. They're still going to want to get out and run, but the Bucks have some more things they can do in terms of meeting them there. And again, rebounding is going to be key in that series. But the big thing, and you said it, Q, was you didn't have Giannis in that series. And, I mean, in those types of series, I'm not going to say I'm going to take the Bucks in every series because they have Giannis, but in those matchups, in a 4-5, the team that has Giannis is the team that I'm going to be picking on the floor. So I do feel good about where they are. And I've said it before, too. I don't even think it's the worst thing in the world if the Bucks draw the Knicks, even with the 0-3 record in the regular season matchups and the way those games have looked. Both these teams are different, right? So I think the Giannis piece is the biggest piece. But what I would caution, and you mentioned the name Jericho Sims. We'll save this for after the break. Just as we said with Damian Lillard, of like, don't pin your hopes to Damian Lillard's going to come back for the first round or the second round. Based on what Doc Rivers said about Jericho Sims the other night, I don't know if we can assume that Jericho Sims is going to be back next weekend when the playoffs start, that this might be a little bit more if we read between the lines based on some of the things that he said. So we'll revisit those comments and take a look at the updated standings here, what the numbers are suggesting, coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Swings into the corner, catch and shoot three. Bobby Portis has cut the deficit in half with one fell swoop, a three-pointer, and it's a 21-0 run for the Bucks. They're back to within three.
I mean, what an incredible fourth quarter for the Bucks tonight to come back from down 24 points with 10 minutes remaining. Bobby Portis records a double-double in his return from the 25-game suspension. Gary Trent Jr. hit some big shots. A.J. Green hit the three to tie it. But the story really was Giannis and Kevin Porter Jr. as they scored 25 of the Bucks' 40 points in the fourth quarter against a very good Minnesota Timberwolves defense. And they come back from down 24 to win this one and stun the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight inside of Fiserv Forum. So Jericho Sims, I wanted to mention, because, again, Doc talked about this the other night, that the hope was, that's where we come back to that word hope and how dangerous it can be. The hope was Jericho Sims would return this week to get some action under his belt in the ramp up to the playoffs, and said that is not going to happen, and shifted to, we hope we can get him back in the playoffs. This is no inside information. It's just taking what Doc Rivers said. And again, looking at that word hope, I don't know that we can assume Jericho Sims is going to be ready to go next weekend when the playoffs begin. I think there's a couple of big things to keep an eye on. When the Bucks do submit their initial injury report, which I would imagine, well, we don't know if they're going to play Saturday or Sunday next weekend. But I would imagine we'll get some type of update, whether it's from the team or reporting on Jericho Sims and his status, sometime late next week. And then the Damian Lillard thing, to go back to the earlier conversation we had about, look, we're hoping that these clots are gone altogether, or this clot is gone altogether in a week to week and a half. Using that timeline, that would put you right into, you know, the week you have off with the playoffs starting. I think if we don't hear any type of update on Damian Lillard and his status next week, late next week, again, I think you got to go forward with the assumption There's no Damian Lillard. So how do we make this work with, you know, Giannis as the point guard, with Kevin Porter Jr. and Ryan Rollins running the mix as well? But the other thing was, you know, I mentioned it's not a trend yet because it's just two games that we've seen this. But it's two straight games where you didn't see a whole lot of Kyle Kuzma down the stretch. And we've heard Doc Rivers say, we're still trying to work Kuz in, and we're still trying to get him comfortable and get him going, and it just hasn't been the case. It has defensively. There's no denying that. It's on the offensive end. And the challenge there, it's the same conversation we had about a guy named Andre Jackson Jr., and the struggle is you have to play on both ends of the floor. You know, this isn't the NBA from the 90s or the 2000s and even the early 2010s. When you think about a guy like Anthony Roberson with the Oklahoma City Thunder that had no offense to speak of, but he was a starter and played heavy minutes because of his defense. The league is much different now. You can't play that way because of how teams will defend you and just say, we're going to abandon that shooter and give you anything you want. It's one of the things I think a lot of us circle and said, this number's got to come up. The shooting numbers, the efficiency, it's got to come up. And you got to find what are the right personnel groups, what are the right minutes for Kyle Kuzma. It's not to say it's done. You've moved on from it because there's a lot of change, right, with Bobby Portis back in the mix. But it is notable this is two straight games now that we've seen that. Limiting Brook Lopez's minutes, too, keeping those low because Bobby Portis is back. It allowed you to play smaller against the Minnesota Timberwolves team tonight, where you could say Giannis is our five, Bobby Portis is our four. This is how we're going to go forward. If you get Jericho Sims back, I don't know that you'd see a ton of Giannis and Jericho Sims minutes because of that same offensive question, but it just gives you another body, and that's the important part. Bucks had nowhere else to turn when Bobby was suspended, when Jericho Sims was hurt. Now you at least get one of those pieces back where you can stagger minutes and you can still have two bigs on the floor and one of them resting. We saw the rebounding improve significantly tonight. It's just one game, but that's the other big thing to keep an eye on here for this team moving forward now in these final three games of the regular season. We'll take a closer look at that New Orleans Pelicans opponent. And again, the updated read on the standings, what the numbers are suggesting. Five, to give away the spoiler, but what are the scenarios in play for the Bucks to not get five? We'll leave you with that coming up after this on Bucks Talk. All right, again, an improbable win tonight for the Bucks, coming back from a 24-point fourth-quarter deficit to beat the Minnesota Timberwolves, outscoring the Timberwolves 40-13 in the fourth quarter and getting 25 combined from Giannis and Kevin Porter Jr. in that fourth quarter. So you got the New Orleans Pelicans up next on Thursday night. That same night, the Detroit Pistons play the New York Knicks, and that game has suddenly taken on quite a bit of importance because we mentioned, well, the door isn't technically shut, it's getting there for the Bucks to catch the Pacers and get up to the four seed. With the Pacers' win tonight and the Knicks' loss, the Pacers are now just two games back of the Knicks for the two seed. So New York is going to have to play to win the rest of the way to hold off Indiana. So if the Knicks win that game against the Pistons on Thursday and the Bucks beat the New Orleans Pelicans, which you should expect, the Bucks will be three games up on the Pistons with two games remaining. In other words, it's over. It's curtains. The Pistons cannot catch them, and the Bucks are guaranteed the five seed. Where it gets tricky, where it gets complicated, is if the Pistons win out, essentially. Because if the Pistons win those final two games, and really the most important thing to know is all the Bucks have to do from here on out is win one game against the Pistons. If they lose to the Pelicans and lose Friday against the Pistons, if they win Sunday, the Bucks finish in front of them. You know, all they got to do is win one game because the magic number is two. So that's one win for you and one loss for the Pistons. But if we do come down to a tie here, that would require the Pistons to win both games against the Bucks. The Pistons would get the tiebreaker because both teams would finish 7-9 in the Central Division, which is the number one tiebreaker. So then you would move on to conference record. And right now the Bucks are 29-21. The only conference games they have left are the Pistons. if the Pistons lose that game to the Knicks. They're 28-22. But if they take those two games against the Bucks, they're 30-22, and the Bucks would fall to 29-23. So the long and short of it is, if you only win one game, make it one of the two against the Pistons. That's all you have to do, and you're the five seed. So in these last couple of days, you've put yourself in a very, very good spot now if you're the Bucks. We'll wait and see what that means for who's the four seed, because there's still a chance it could be the New York Knicks instead of the Indiana Pacers. Next game broadcast Thursday night, the Bucks and the New Orleans Pelicans. That's a 7 o'clock tip from inside of Fiserv Forum. 6:30 is when the pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.